The Hard Shoulder.
With the award-winning MG4. The no-compromise electric hatchback with a 450-kilometer range. Recharge your soul.
Jenny's Law, which is a law that was given approval at Cabinet today. And Jenny's Law is named after Jennifer Poole. She was known as Jenny, and she's a 24-year-old who was murdered in 2021 by her partner, who had a prior history of domestic violence convictions, and his new partner, she wasn't aware of it. And the law will see the establishment now of a domestic violence register, and it will allow the names of convicted domestic violence individuals, and they have to have been convicted of serious domestic violence against a partner or formerly partner, to be publicly named on a register of judgments. Well, to talk me through the significance of this, I'm joined by Dr. Caroline Ford of the Domestic Violence Advocacy Service and by David Hall, who's the former CEO of Sunnis Domestic Abuse Charity. You're both very welcome to the programme. To go to you first, David, how exactly is this register going to work?
I think, Ciara, this is a fantastic development, and as I say, Jason Poole, who's Jenny's brother, has been a phenomenal advocate in relation to pushing this through. He shouldn't have had to do it. Jenny, unfortunately, was murdered by a known domestic violence offender. Shouldn't have happened. Many women and men need to be protected against known convicted offenders. And this is a fantastic step, and the minister is to be commended in relation to a number of steps he's made, in fairness, since he's become minister, in progressing domestic violence protections for men and for women. So this will be, you know, registered. Approval was given ahead by the Cabinet this morning. There's a lot of work still to be done, and a lot of parts of this has to be teased out. Its intent is very, very positive, to have a situation where people who are involved in a relationship can go and check under the court supervision if their partner, the new partner, because again, many partners, and in Jenny's situation, her partner had abused women in the past. And this is a circumstance whereby you can see, which is a pattern, unfortunately, that develops, where this is not an isolated incident. There has been history, and people have to be protected against such offenders. And this will allow people to check and see if the person they're dating or they're seeing has a history of domestic abuse. And it's a fantastic development. It shouldn't have taken a family grieving and bereft in such a way by such a violent death in her children. It should not have taken that. It's a failure in the system, but it is to be commended. And again, I think Jason, singularly, many people, it's difference in life. Many of us want to try and life has changed lives and save lives, and this absolutely will do that.
Caroline, do you agree? Do you think that this has the potential to protect women?
Yes, thank you. I do agree that it is a very important step forward. As David has said, perpetrators are known to be repeat offenders, and you know, this register would bring the issue more visibly into the public domain and help to reduce stigma. It also, you know, places a focus on perpetrators in terms of accountability. However, I do have a few concerns about the way it's been developed. The first would be that the fact that the register will include all serious domestic violence. Now, that seems to be defined as a serious assault, whereas, you know, all domestic violence is serious, and in fact, coercive control can result in much more lasting consequences than physical violence. And we also know that coercive control is present in the vast majority of murders that are perpetrated by partners or ex-partners. So really, it would be imperative that all forms of domestic violence are included. Another concern is the fact that convictions are very few in relation to domestic violence, you know, particularly for coercive control. Domestic violence orders are much more common, but they are civil remedies, so they technically then would not be included. So again, you know, absolutely an important step forward. I would just like to see, you know, these issues taken into account.
So for you, the register as it stands, or what we believe the register is going to look like, is too limited, because it's just for serious domestic violence. It isn't for harassment or stalking or financial abuse or coercive control or perhaps even sexual assault.
Well, that seems to be the case, because it's worded as a serious assault. Now, sexual assault could be included there, but all forms of domestic violence are serious. And yeah, coercive control, it's the most common type, and you know, the consequences are very long lasting. And again, it is present in the vast majority of murders by partners and ex-partners. So really, all those forms that you've noted there would really need to be included.
Do you feel that a register like this, a public register like this, that people will be able to access, that it will act as a deterrent in any way towards those who are inclined to abuse their partners?
Well, I certainly hope so. I mean, I think it's, you know, it's a huge thing that we would have this, you know, this public register that people can consult. But I think what needs to accompany this register will be wider changes within the justice system because, you know, really, as you're saying, the convictions are so low. And, you know, there are quite a few problems with the justice system in terms of survivors, particularly women, accessing justice. So I think that, you know, yes, absolutely, it has great potential. And I would like to see it accompanied by wider changes within the system.
And David, convictions, as Carolyn says, are low. And there is one other aspect to this, that victims have to consent to this. And I understand why they would ask for a victim's consent, but there will be circumstances where an abuser's name will be left off the register if that consent isn't forthcoming. Does that concern you?
Yeah, no, I look, I would agree with everything that Carolyn said. I think today is about Jenny's Law, and it's only one tool in a battle, a very, very significant battle of a landscape of relation to domestic, gender-based and sexual violence, to my mind, has been neglected abjectly for 10 years. There's been a lot of media coverage, a lot of commentary made by various people and politicians, and ultimately there's been an abject. If you were to draw, I just want you to visualise something for 10 seconds, draw a line in respect of the different levels of investment and change that's happened in homelessness, mental health, addiction and mental health care. They've all gone on a massive trajectory upwards. Domestic sexual gender-based violence has flatlined. This has been an abject failure in all of what Caroline said. On top of this register, and more needs to be done. It is an abject disgrace, the legal system that is involved in victims having to get a bus into in Dublin Dolphin House to be hanging around an absolute cattle mart where their abuser is present in the same building looking at them, where you meet your solicitor for the first time on that morning. There is monumental changes to make. The positive thing I would say is the CEO of Coon, Stephanie O'Keefe, Dr. Stephanie O'Keefe, I've worked with them for a year, and herself and her team have absolutely shown a clear intent, as has this minister. And that's why, for me and others who are advocating very, very strongly and a bit more aggressively than normal, to try and take this opportunity to have those people push forward those agendas, there's absolutely monumental neglect of this system. This is one small win, a very welcome win, but as Caroline said, there's absolutely a lot more that needs to happen.
Caroline, if an individual has been violent in the past towards a partner, statistically, how likely are they to be violent towards a new partner?
Well, they're extremely likely to be. You know, I can't actually think of an example where a perpetrator has not gone on to perpetrate again. We see it all of the time. So, yeah, you know, really, again, it is so important that at least in this way they can be named and you know, people can access the register. So that in itself is absolutely very important. I agree with everything David said. And yeah, it's absolutely a positive step.
In terms of the actual register itself, David, who is going to manage it and how will it be accessed?
We understand it'll be done through the court service. And again, as was mentioned by Caroline, like, it's still a bit vague. You know, the word serious assault and you know, there's a lot more damage is done by something that mightn't be categorised by many as being serious. A significant amount of damage can be done, and also impact on children in families. So there's a significant amount of work to be teased out in relation to that. I hope this is a first step. I hope that over time the definition of serious will reduce to include coercive control, will include financial and sexual. There's no reason why this can't be opened up to ensure that people are protected. This is something that absolutely should have been done over the years. And I think the most genuine thing that anyone has ever said is that in every instance that anyone has ever seen court proceedings where someone, as low as they are, or any cases they've heard, these guys have done this before. So in circumstances where they've done it before, there's an escalation. This is completely unacceptable. And 10 years ago, nothing has changed. This was the same case then. This needs to happen now. And I hope it's wide ranging. And, you know, there's protections in place for data and stuff for people. The what if mode of transport that we've done in Ireland all the time is what if this, what if that? We know what's happening now. We have to take every coherent step to try and prevent women and men being injured, and predominantly women by men. We must take those steps. And it upsets a few people's little sensitivities. So be it.
Doctor, the crime of domestic violence, it was shrouded in stigma in this country for a really long time. Do you think that has changed? Do you think that stigma has lifted?
I would say not nearly enough. There has been a little bit of a change. We do have a greater awareness, and we do hear much more often now that domestic violence is a public issue, that it's an issue that everyone needs to be engaged with. But no, I don't think the stigma has lifted completely. The family is still very much enshrined within the Constitution, and that is very problematic when it comes to domestic violence, when women are seen as breaking up the family, that they should do whatever they can do to keep the family together. A lot of our women, you know, the women who access our service, they say that that still is a problem for them. They feel like they are breaking up the family. Society makes them feel that way. The perpetrator, of course, will make them feel that way. So, no, I really don't think the stigma has lifted enough. And I think, you know, I agree with David. It's really about how we're addressing the issue. So unless we address it more comprehensively, then, you know, how can we expect society to take it seriously enough? And how can we expect perpetrators not to you know, go on to perpetrate again if they're really not held accountable? So that's another issue. You know, if we're not seeing the proper accountability within the justice system, then, you know, again, how can we expect the public to take the issue seriously? And, you know, it remains then behind closed doors, you know, because we can say that it's a public issue, but we have to really show that in our society by the mechanisms that we have in place.
Well, as David said there, Jason Poole, who is Jenny's brother, has really championed this legislation. I've met and interviewed him in the past, and he has campaigned for this law in honour of his sister. I hope he feels really proud of himself and the legacy he's left for Jennifer today. Dr. Caroline Ford and David Hall, thank you for joining us on The Hard Shoulder today.
The Hard Shoulder.
With the award-winning MG4. The no-compromise electric hatchback with a 450-kilometre range. Recharge your soul.